Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content featured in this episode on navigating conflicting ESG standards comes from Edson Souza.
Okay, so you're trying to figure out what businesses should actually be doing on the whole ESG front, right? Environmental, social, governance.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, well, like being lost in translation sometimes. Everyone says, oh yeah, ESG, critical. But then you look at the actual guidelines.
Oh, it's the alphabet soup.
Totally. Yeah. You're drowning in acronyms, CDP, SASB, TCFD, GRI. It's kind of overwhelming.
It really is a genuinely complex landscape. And that's exactly what Edson Souza tackled. He's the director of intellectual property at Bayer in Brazil.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he gave this really insightful lecture called Challenges Due to the Variety of ESG Standards. And that's what we're diving into today.
Right. So think of this as like our guide through Souza's thinking.
Exactly. We'll unpack the core reasons why it's so complex and, you know, what Souza sees as potential paths to maybe get some clarity.
Good. Because trying to get your head around all those standards individually is a lot.
It is. The aim here is to pull out Souza's key points so you can grasp the main issues without needing a PhD in ESG acronyms.
Perfect. Okay, so let's jump in. Souza starts by drawing a line between ESG standards and frameworks. What's the core difference he sees there?
Well, according to Souza, it really boils down to specificity. He describes ESG standards as being very detailed. They give you concrete criteria, specific metrics for reporting performance.
Like the actual measurement.
Precisely. And he points out they're usually developed with the public interest in mind, often through independent processes, public consultation, you know, quite formal. They're the rulers and measuring tapes, basically.
Okay, so standards tell you exactly what and how to measure. So what about frameworks then, in Souza's view?
Frameworks, Souza explains, are, well, broader, more flexible. They give you guiding principles, a sort of general approach to thinking about ESG.
Or like a philosophy.
Kind of, yeah. Less about the nitty-gritty metrics you find in standards, more about the big picture, the strategy, rather than the super detailed reporting rules.
And where do these things come from, both standards and frameworks?
Well, Souza points out they can come from all sorts of places, governments, independent bodies, expert groups. It's quite varied.
Okay, that distinction makes sense. Standards are specific rules, frameworks are broader guidance. So building on that, Souza highlights six key ESG initiatives. Can you walk us through those based on his lecture?
Sure. So first up, Souza talks about CDP, originally the Carbon Disclosure Project.
Right. I've heard of that one. Climate change focus.
Initially, yes. Very much climate focused. But Souza notes it's expanded now. It also covers things like deforestation, water security. Pretty critical stuff.
And how does it work?
It's basically a global disclosure system. Companies fill out these pretty detailed questionnaires about their sustainability efforts. And Souza highlights something important. CDP aligns closely with TCFD recommendations.
We'll get to TCFD, I assume.
We will, yeah. And this alignment helps with comparing data. Oh. Plus CDP's scoring. It really influences where investment goes, pushing towards that, you know, zero carbon goal.
Okay, so CDP, big on disclosure. Questionnaires, climate, but also broader environmental issues now, and influences investment. Got it. What's next on Souza's list?
Next is SASB. That's the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board.
Okay.
Now, SCB, as Souza explains it, is very investor-focused. Mm-hmm. Their whole thing is developing sustainability accounting standards, but they're tailored to specific industries.
Oh, interesting. Not one size fits all.
Oh, exactly. They cover 77 different industries. The goal is to pinpoint the sustainability issues most likely to actually hit a company's bottom line, their financial or operational performance.
So what's important for a tech company might be different from an energy company.
Precisely. Like Souza mentions, SASB standards might flag data privacy for a tech firm, but emissions for an energy producer. It's about financial materiality.
And SASB does the ratings?
No, actually. Souza points out that SASB creates the standards, but other organizations license those standards to do the actual scoring and ratings. He also mentions SASB groups issues into five dimensions, just to give structure.
Okay, so SASB, investor-focused, industry-specific, all about financial impact. What about TCFD? You mentioned it aligns with CDP.
Right, TCFD. the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. Suze explains their focus is laser sharp, how companies report the financial risks and opportunities linked to climate change.
Just climate.
Just the financial side of climate, yeah. Their recommendations, which Suze flags, cover four areas: governance, strategy, risk management, and then the actual metrics and targets companies use.
So vital for investors trying to understand climate risk in their portfolios.
Absolutely. It's all about that financial lens on climate issues.
Okay. Moving on, what about GRI? That one sounds familiar too. It seems broader.
Yeah, GRI, the Global Reporting Initiative. Suze describes GRI as providing really comprehensive standards covering a much wider range of ESG topics. Environment, sure, but also human rights, governance, a lot.
So less financially focused than SSB or TCFD.
Definitely. Suze emphasizes a key difference here.
Yeah.
GRI uses what's called double materiality.
Double materiality, what's that?
It means they look at two things. One, how ESG issues affect the company financially, similar to SSB in a way. But also, two, how the company's operations impact the wider economy, environment, and society.
Ah, so it's a two-way street. Impact on the company and the company's impact on the world.
Exactly. It's a broader view of responsibility. Suze notes GRI standards are voluntary and structured into universal ones, sector-specific ones, and topic-specific ones. It reflects a different philosophy, really.
Okay. GRI. Broad scope. Double materiality. Looking at wider societal impact. Makes sense. Two left, CDSB and IRC. What's Suze's take on those?
So CDSB, the Climate Disclosure Standards Board, Suze highlights their push for integrated reporting.
Integrated reporting, meaning?
Meaning companies should report their environmental and social stuff right alongside their financial performance, showing how it all connects to their strategy. Thinking about different kinds of capital, natural, human, social.
Okay, connecting the dots.
Yeah, and Suze points out a big development. CDSB got rolled into the IFRS Foundation in early 2022. That foundation backs the ISSB, the International Sustainability Standards Board.
Ah, so CDSB's work is feeding into this bigger global standards effort now?
Exactly. It's contributing to creating more unified global standards. And CDSB's framework actually drew on TCFD and ASPE recommendations, too. It's all becoming quite interconnected.
Interesting. Okay, so CDSB pushed integrated reporting and is now part of the ISSB effort. And lastly, IRC.
IRC, International Integrated Reporting Council. Suze describes them as more of a global think tank focused on how capital gets allocated.
So big picture thinking.
Yeah. Their main contribution, Suze says, is this principle of transparency linking the non-financial stuff, like environmental or social performance, to the business factors that actually create value. They talk about six types of capital.
Six.
Yep. Financial, manufactured, intellectual, human, social and relationship, and natural. How all these feed into a company's business model and value creation over time.
Wow. Okay. That's quite the list. CDP, SASB, TCFD, GRI, CDSB, IIRC. Mm-hmm. It's definitely clear why Suze's lecture focuses on the challenges this variety creates.
No kidding.
So what are the main problems he identifies?
Well, Suze really pinpoints five key challenges. The first one is probably the most obvious. Just sheer confusion and overwhelm.
Right. Where do you even start?
Exactly. Mm. Companies struggle to figure out which of these many standards and frameworks actually matter for them. Suze calls it analysis paralysis. You get so stuck trying to understand it all, you don't do anything.
Or choose the wrong one, mate.
Or choose the wrong one. And it takes serious resources, time, money, expertise, just to navigate it all.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like trying to pick a health insurance plan sometimes. So much information. What's the second challenge Suze brings up?
The second big one, Suze says, is the lack of consistency.
Because they all measure things differently.
Precisely. Different metrics, different reporting requirements. Hmm. It makes it incredibly hard for investors, or anyone really, to compare companies meaningfully. Apples and oranges.
Which must undermine confidence.
It does. It erodes investor confidence, makes it tough for companies to tell a clear story about their efforts. And, Suze warns, it also opens the door to greenwashing.
Ah, cherry-picking the good data.
Yeah. You can highlight what looks good under one standard and maybe ignore what doesn't look so good under another.
Okay. Inconsistency makes comparison difficult and enables greenwashing. What's hurdle number three?
Third, Suze talks about implementation obstacles, just the practical difficulty of doing it.
So even if you figure out what to report, actually doing it is hard.
Yes. The complexity makes putting a solid ESG strategy into practice much harder. You need to gather all this different data for different frameworks, analyze it. It's a big job.
Especially for smaller companies, I imagine.
Particularly for them, yeah. Suze notes they might lack the specialized expertise or resources needed.
Right. So confusion, inconsistency, implementation difficulties. What's the fourth challenge Sousa highlights?
Fourth is materiality differences. This is a really crucial one Sousa emphasizes.
We touched on this with GRI, the double materiality thing.
Exactly. There's a fundamental split. You've got frameworks like IRC, SASB, TCFD, focusing mainly on financial materiality, how ESG issues affect the company's value.
The bottom line impact.
Right. But then you have GRI, with its double materiality, looking at both the financial impact and the company's impact on the world.
And that causes confusion.
Big time. Confusion about what issues are actually material, important enough to report. Because different stakeholders care about different things, right? Investors might focus on financial materiality, while NGOs or activists care more about the broader societal impact.
So you have different audiences wanting different types of materiality. That does sound tricky.
It really is. Think about, say, factory emissions. Financial materiality might focus on the cost of pollution controls. Double materiality asks about the actual harm the pollution causes the community, even if it doesn't hit the books immediately.
Got it. Okay, what's the fifth and final challenge from Sousa?
The last one Sousa points to is data comparability. This links back to the inconsistency issue, really.
Hard to compare apples and oranges.
Exactly. Because of all the different standards and methods, it's super difficult for investors or stakeholders to accurately assess and benchmark companies against each other.
Which makes ESG ratings tricky, too.
Very tricky. How do you create standardized ESG ratings when the underlying data isn't standard? It can lead to misinterpretations, maybe bad investment decisions. It just makes tracking real progress hard.
Okay, wow. So confusion, inconsistency, implementation barriers, conflicting materiality views, and comparability issues. That's quite a list of challenges. But Sousa doesn't just leave it there, right? He talks about finding clarity.
He does. He makes a point that even though these standards and frameworks are different, they aren't necessarily opposed. They can actually be complementary.
How so?
Well, he suggests companies need to be strategic. When choosing which approach or combination of approaches to use, they should think about things like, you know, their credit scores, their reputation goals, specific business targets, their actual business model.
So it's about picking the right tools for your specific job rather than thinking one size fits all.
Precisely that. It's strategic selection.
Yeah.
And Sousa also points to some positive signs, some movement towards convergence.
Oh, like what?
He mentions, for instance, the agreement of a memorandum of understanding between the IFRS Foundation and GRI back in March 2022. The aim there is to get their standards to work together better to align them.
Okay, that sounds promising.
And he also flags the ISSB, that international board we mentioned, publishing its first common standards, IFRS S1 and S2, in June 2023. And importantly, those incorporate the TCFD recommendations.
Ah, so bringing TCFD into a potentially more global framework.
Exactly. These are real steps towards hopefully a more streamlined reporting world.
That's encouraging. Now, Sousa seemed to really stress materiality. Why is getting that concept right so vital here?
Yeah, he really hammers this home. Sousa argues it's absolutely critical to pick the right materiality lens depending on who you're talking to, who your audience is.
Financial materiality versus double materiality again.
Right. If you're primarily talking to investors focusing on financial evaluations, then enterprise materiality, the impact on the company is key. That's what SASB and TCFD lean towards.
But if you're talking to NGOs?
Then, Sousa says, double materiality. Looking at the company's impact on the world, too, becomes essential. That's GRI's territory. But Sousa adds an interesting point.
What's that?
He suggests that even if your main focus is financial, looking through that double materiality lens can still be really valuable. It can give you clues, insights for improving your overall ESG strategy, maybe spotting risks or opportunities you'd otherwise miss.
So even if you're focused on the bottom line, understanding your wider impact can still benefit the business itself.
Interesting. Okay, so how does Sousa wrap things up? What's his final message or a call to action?
Well, he concludes by saying, look, ESG disclosures are common now, which is good. But we still desperately need more standardization.
Because of all those challenges we discussed. Exactly. The sheer number and variety of standards makes it really hard to give stakeholders information that's consistent and actually comparable.
So what should be done?
Sousa urges companies and, importantly, industry associations to be bolder, to actively engage with stakeholders, push the conversation forward, and really advocate for a clearer, more reasonable baseline for ESG reporting.
So it's a call for collective action to simplify and standardize things.
Pretty much. Moving beyond just disclosure to creating a system that's truly effective and comparable.
Okay, so let's recap this deep dive into X and Sousa's lecture. We've navigated the complex world of ESG standards and frameworks.
Definitely complex.
We looked at the big challenges Sousa identified. The confusion, the lack of consistency, the practical hurdles of implementation, those key differences in materiality, and the problems with comparing data.
Yep, all five challenges.
But also the efforts towards clarity, the idea of complementarity, and the moves towards convergence, like the IFRS-GRI link-up and the ISSB standards absorbing TCFD.
And that crucial emphasis Sousa places on understanding materiality for your specific audience.
Right. And finally, his call for more proactive steps, more engagement, to push for greater standardization.
It really paints a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The goal of ESG is clear. The importance is clear. But the how of reporting is still very much a work in progress, that maze we talked about.
It really is. And it kind of leaves you thinking, doesn't it? As everyone, investors, customers, employees, demands more transparency and accountability, how can individual companies actually help build that more standardized, more understandable ESG system? You know, move beyond just ticking boxes with data and really use this to drive sustainable impact.
That's the big question, isn't it? Something for all of us to consider.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.